We turn this morning to Psalm 116. We just sang a setting of this psalm. Psalm 116, and we are going to read all the verses of this chapter. Psalm 116, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people in the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to take your Psalter hymnal once again and turn to the back section to page 872. Page 872. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. And this morning we're going to read both question answers 1 and 2. Our focus will be on question answer 2. We're going to read both of them. I will read the question and we'll respond together with the answer. So from page 872, Lord's Day 1, question 1. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Question and answer 2, how many things must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? Well, last week we began a new series of sermons on the Word of God as summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. And we talked last week about comfort, about our only comfort, being found in God Himself. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong to Him. We saw that comfort often comes in the context of difficulty. Our comfort is not simply that God removes all hardships from our life, but He is with us in those times of hardship, in those times of difficulty, to comfort us. That is the burden of question answer one. Then question answer two asks a follow-up question. Question answer one, what's my only comfort? That I belong to Christ. Question answer two, how many things must I know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? What do I need to know in order to have this? Now, this morning is Christian Education Sunday, and I was trying to find a link between Christian education and question and answer two. I began to think about that, and children, when I was in school, if the teacher would introduce some new topic or some new subject and begin to go on and on and on about it, eventually somebody would raise their hand and they would say, "Is this going to be on the test? How much of this do I have to know?" We talked about comfort. How much do we have to know to experience that comfort? Hence the title of this morning's sermon, How Much Must I Know? Now, I believe as we progress through this psalm and through this sermon, there'll be a better link than that as we get to point three. But it is an interesting question. After talking about our comfort and belonging to Christ and all that He does for us, the very next question, how many things must I know? Interesting. It doesn't ask, how many things must I do? I think that's almost a more natural question. Okay, here's this glorious comfort. What do I have to do to get that? But when we ask the question, what must I do? Then it seems that we want at least a little bit of credit for entering into that comfort. We want to do our part. But the catechism doesn't ask, how many things must I do to enjoy this comfort? It says, what must I know? And what I need to know is that God has done everything. There is nothing left for me to do to secure this comfort. God has done everything necessary in His Son, Jesus Christ, to secure that for me. I simply need to know this glorious truth, to appropriate this glorious blessing by faith, and to enter into that wonderful comfort. How many things must I know to have this comfort of God with me at all times, in good times and in bad? And the answer is very simply given to us. There are three things. There's not 10 things, there's not 20 things, there's three things, three simple things we need to know to enjoy this comfort that God promises. We need to know our sin. We need to know how God has provided salvation from that sin, and how as a response to that, we will now lovingly serve Him. Sin, salvation, and service. Some of you who have been around for a while know that that is the outline of the Heidelberg Catechism. Oh, now we name the sections differently. We call misery, deliverance, and gratitude. But when I grew up, sin, salvation, and service. That's what we have to know to appreciate the comfort that God gives to us. And those three simple things, that simple outline, is what we find in Psalm 116. Psalm 116 begins with a confession of faith. I love the Lord Because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. It begins with an introduction, a confession of our faith. And then goes on in verse 3 and 4 to talk about our sin. In verse 5 to 11 to talk about salvation. And in verse 12 through 19 to talk about how we respond to God in loving service. How much must I know? Three simple things. First, our sin. And the severity of our sin. Verse 3, the psalmist uses such picturesque language. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. The psalmist is in the snares of death itself. Sheol, the underworld, he's talking about dying. That is the seriousness of his sin. And we've talked about that in our canon series. We are dead in transgressions and sins. Not simply sick, not simply hurt, but dead. And that's the psalmist language. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. Distress and anguish. We read earlier this morning from Psalm 38 for our call to confession. Psalm 38, one of the seven penitential psalms in the Psalter that speak about our sin. We read these words, such graphic language. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. My sin makes me sick. Sick to my stomach. That's how it affects me. Verse 4, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Our sin is a burden. It is not a light purse. It is not a backpack. It is a burden. Too heavy for any of us to bear the severity of our sin. This language, my wounds stink and fester. I am bowed down. All day long I go about mourning. My sides are filled with burning. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. That's the severity of our sin. It is that which weighs us down like a burden too heavy to bear. It is that which crushes us. We are sick because of it. That's what we have to know. That our sin is an offense against a holy God. We at times will try to minimize our sin, perhaps even rename our sin. I have codependency, I have an alternative lifestyle. These are just choices I have made. But sin is sin, an offense against God. We must recognize that. Because Jesus came for sinners. Jesus came for sinners. For those who recognize, who know their need, who acknowledge their need, and who confess their sins. What must I know? I must know, first of all, that I need a Savior. I must know that in myself I am fallen and sinful like a death sentence. I need to acknowledge that. And beyond acknowledging the severity of my sin, the hopelessness of that sinful condition. From verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. I had to call to someone else. There was nothing I could do about it. There weren't five easy things I could do to fix the problem. But I recognized I am fallen, I am sinful, and of myself I can do nothing. I must call on someone else. We must call out to God, because only in Him Only in him do we find that hope and that comfort. The recognition of my fallenness, the recognition of the severity and hopelessness of my sin should not drive me to despair, but rather it should drive me to Christ, because there is the hope and there is the comfort. And so the psalmist goes on. Verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. What must we know? We have to know our sin and its condition, but we don't stop there. We have to know that God has graciously provided salvation for his own. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. Salvation is a gift from God. We have not earned it. God owes us nothing, but he simply, for his own good pleasure, chooses to save a people for his very own and washes them and cleanses them from all of their sins. Verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. He saves us. He preserves us. He holds on to us. We must know that our salvation is not found in ourselves, but is found in the work of another. Verse 7, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Return to your rest. We can rest in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has done everything necessary. Nothing left for us to do. If it was for us to do something, we could never do enough. We could never meet God's righteous, holy standards. No, he has done it all so that we can rest. That's where our comfort is found. Not in what I can accomplish, but resting in what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And that salvation saves me completely. Verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. God does everything necessary to wholly and completely cleanse us. We belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has forgiven all of our sins. All. That's such a hard truth to grasp. God, because of Jesus Christ, holds nothing against us. No sins from our past, no sins from today, no sins from the future. You have delivered me from death, given me new life, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I have been completely washed and cleansed. That's a hard truth. Hard for us. Because while God promises he will remember our sins no more, we remember our sin. We know what we have done. And sometimes we say, it's just too much. And I can't forgive myself. And while that has an air of piety about it, when I say I can't forgive myself, it undercuts the sufficiency of the work of Christ. He has forgiven me. God has promised, I will remember your sins no more. Am I going to be more righteous than God? If God has forgiven us all of our sins, we need not hold it against ourselves either. I will walk, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. No longer under that death sentence, I will walk in the land of the living. He says, I believed. Verse 10, I believed through faith. He appropriates this beautiful truth. I believed the promise of God. I believed God's promise in his holy word. And we are called to believe the same thing, that same glorious truth of salvation. The Bible is not a storybook. It is not a myth. It is not fiction. It reveals to us God's way with his people and the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, to wholly and completely save us from all of our sins. It is that same truth that we declare again today. If you are here still weighed down by that burden of sin, place your trust in Jesus Christ and know the comfort of a God who saves you, who loves you, who will go with you. Embrace this glorious truth. I believed. Say along with the psalmist, I believe the truth of God's word. What must we know? We must know the nature of our sin. But know that God's grace is far more powerful than all of our sins. He is a gracious Savior. And so the psalmist says, verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How do I respond to this? Recognizing the depth of my sin, what I have done, recognizing the heights of God's grace, how now do I respond? Psalmist says, verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Verse 14, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. How do we respond to God? We respond to God with worship, calling upon his name in the presence of his people, worshiping him for the great God that he is, the one who has washed us from all our sins and iniquity. That's why we gather Lord's Day after Lord's Day, because God has washed us, has cleansed us, and out of thanksgiving, we respond to that call to worship, to praise him for the great God that he is. Why are you here today? Are you here because it's Sunday morning and we go to church on Sunday morning? Are you here because what might people think if I didn't show up? Or are you here out of gratitude to God? Gratitude to offer him the loving service of praise as we enter into his presence, recognizing the depth of our sin and the height of his grace. Worship is an expression of our beginning to grasp and offer God the devotion that he deserves. It is the depth of our desire to worship him that is recognized as we gather Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day, serving him, for he is great and glorious, and he has taken us from death to life. The psalmist says in verse 16, Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I'm a servant, the son of a servant. You have loosed my bonds. That sounds like a free man, not a servant. What's the psalmist talking about? We have been freed, as our confession says in Lord's Day 1, we have been freed from the tyranny of the devil. We've been freed from that guilt of sin, that we may now walk in the path of life before God. We've been freed from sin that we might serve a living God, our loving service to Him. And that recognizes that our God is in control of every part of our life. He's not only our God on Sunday, but He is God of every day of the week. He is God of everywhere around us. And so part of our loving service to Him is learning about that world that He has made. Learning about the glories of creation in the light of God's holy word. And that is where God-centered schooling, that is where Christian education comes in. Teaching that this world belongs to God. He is its creator. He is its provider. And He is its ruler. Jesus Christ sits enthroned over all creation. And we teach our children that, not only in Bible class, but we teach them in history class and in English class and in math class and in social studies. All of this is because of God. It all belongs to Him. And He rules over every bit of it. And we say, how can I serve Him? And so we learn and we study to find out our particular gifts and talents. Where has God put us in this great and glorious kingdom that He has established? And so we study and we learn and we find out how can I use the particular gifts God has given to me to be of service to Him and of service to others. What must I know? How much must I know? Three simple things. I need to know the depth of my sin. I need to know the glory, the height of God's salvation. And I need to know that out of love and devotion, I now respond to God with gratitude as we gather for worship on the Lord's Day, but as we live for Him every day. May God help us to take these three things, these three simple things, and embrace the comfort of belonging to Him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your holy word, and we thank You for the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of sin, salvation, and service. Lord God, help us to embrace these simple truths. And through them, O God, by Your Holy Spirit, draw us closer to You. May we know a greater sense of that belonging, a greater sense of that comfort, because we know Your Son, Jesus Christ. Encourage us and strengthen us. We pray for His sake. Amen.